All right, turn with me if you would to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. When you get there, please stand. Deuteronomy chapter 11, let's go to verse 16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. I'd like to talk to us tonight about promised land do's and don'ts. About promised land, do's and don'ts. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, so thankful that we can come to your house once again. Lord, thank you for what we had this morning. Now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give us what we need tonight, Lord, which each heart needs. I pray, God, that you'd help us to truly listen to your word, Lord, and to allow you to give us the direction that we need for our lives, Lord, so we might glorify you and honor you with them the more every day, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to just to set everything aside, Lord, and allow you to have our full attention. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please sit down. Now, earlier in this chapter, up in verse 10, you see that for the land whither thou goest in to possess it, God's talking to them about the promised land, it is not as the land of Egypt from whence you came. He said, listen, where I'm sending you, it's not like Egypt. This is different than Egypt. Where thou sowest thy seed and waterest with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, and from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Moses is telling us, look, the promised land that we're about to go in, the promised land that God is giving us, is not like Egypt. You can't go in here thinking it's going to be like Egypt. You can't go in here thinking it's going to be like Egypt. Now, Egypt was a place of bondage. Amen? Egypt was a place of bondage for the children of Israel. Egypt was a place of hard labor, a place of turmoil, a place of heartache, a place of hopelessness. This was not a good place for them. And so he says, you can't go into the promised land thinking it's going to be like that. But listen, we can think that this abundant Christian life, this promised land for the Christian that God has given us, we can sometimes think, and especially in society today, there is the train of thought, this health and wealth, prosperity religion, that isn't what the Bible is talking about either. God has not promised to make you successful by the world's definition. And by even our definition, he's promised to give you success by his definition. He's promised to prosper you according to his glory, according to his will, and what's going to bring him the honor. Amen? And so he says, listen, in Egypt it was about you. In Egypt it was about your master that you were serving. And it was about the things that you had to do there. The promised land is different. It's going to be different. And now listen, he already told them that they were going to have houses they didn't have to build. We talked about this last week. And water that they weren't going to have to dig. And plants they weren't have to plant. He already promised all these things. It was going to be good. But you can't go in thinking it's going to be like Egypt, he says. But, now look at this. I like it. It says that this land is a land of hills and valleys. It's a land of hills and valleys. The land that I'm sending you is a land of hills and valleys. Now I look at that and I start thinking, okay, hills and valleys. One, especially now, not real fond of climbing hills. Right? I would like a rope pull and a pair of skates to get up the hill. It'd be nice and easy. Yeah. We go to Camp Victory, you know, a couple times a year, and the tabernacle is up on top of a hill. And there are plenty, there's at least one person every year that either doesn't make it up or doesn't make it down safely that wipes out. But the thing about a hill is a hill can be hard to climb, amen? Yeah? The thing about a valley is a valley can be a real low place in your life. And so God's saying, look, it's not going to be like Egypt, but it is a land of hills and valleys. And listen, the abundant Christian life, it is a roller coaster ride, isn't it? Come on now, isn't it? If you've served God for any time at all, then it is a roller coaster ride. It is a land of hills and valleys. There's ups, there's downs. The ups can be hard. They're great when you get to the top. But listen, even the valleys, though, the valleys can be a sweet place. You know, the valley can be a really sweet place because it's usually when I'm running through the darkest time, the hardest time, that I can find Jesus the closest and that I can find him the sweetest. So he says, it's not like Egypt, but it is a land of hills and valleys. It is a land of rain. And it does soak up the rain. And listen, sometimes we need the storms of life. Amen? Sometimes we need the storms of life. Are we going to have good crops without rain? No. No, as a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. We don't have, when we don't get the snow, if this winter had gone the entire winter with what little snow we'd gotten before this, it would not have been good for the crops. The snow is important. It puts great nutrients and nitrates into the ground that helps the ground to produce like it's supposed to. Now, we don't like it, amen, except for Miss Sue, and I can preach against it tonight. She's not here, okay? We don't like the snow all the time. I mean, yeah, it's fun to sled in and stuff like that. There's, again, where I just don't like those hills. I'd rather have a rope pull to get me up to the top because that's the bad part about sledding. But anyways, I digress. We need the hills, we need the valleys, and we need the rain. We need those things. These are things that while they may not be our idea of what the promised land should be, it is what the promised land is. But the thing is, whether there's hills, whether there's valleys, whether there's rain, you know who's there the entire time? The Lord. Isn't that what he said? The Lord's eyes are upon it from the beginning of the year to the end. That means God doesn't take his eyes off. God don't quit looking. God does not quit caring for us, amen? Every hill, he's there to help pull us up. That's grace. Every valley, he's there to help get us through. Every rainstorm, he's there with an umbrella. Yes, we're getting the nutrients and things are getting cleaned like we need, but he'll keep us safe, amen? Till the storm passes by, amen? We've got a good God. And so the promised land is not like Egypt. And I can honestly say, since I've been saved, I've been ruined for the world. The children of Israel, even though they were wandering through the wilderness, and even though they bellyached sometimes, saying, why on earth did I leave where I was at? We had it better. No, 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 that's just stupid thinking. And yes, I did say stupid. Because anytime you think that you had it better with the devil putting his thumb on your head, anytime you think you had it better before you got saved, anytime you think it was better before God started ruling over my life and sucking all the fun out of it, before you start thinking that way, just realize that you're doing some stupid thinking. Come to the realization, no, that's not right. You didn't have it better back there. It was not better. So, here's where we get to this verse, these verses. God has promised to prosper him. He's promised to keep his eyes on him. But the thing is, all the grace in the world, and we still got to get under it. You understand what that means? God promises the promised land, but you got to receive the promise. And you got to put yourself in the place to receive the promise. You have to go in. So here they are, he's saying, you're going to go in, but there's some warnings. God's got some warnings. He's got some promised land do's and don'ts. And we see them right here in our verses. First, he says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Now, we talked a little bit last week about observing. Observing. It's kind of the same thing. There's some things you need to pay attention to. There's some things that you need to watch out for. There's some things you need to take heed to. Now, I know we're in the Old Testament, and we're a New Testament church. I know that. So I've gone and I've got some New Testament passages to go along with taking heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. One, let's talk about these two things that are very important. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There are two things that are very, very important that we need to take heed to. We have to love God like we're supposed to. That is the main promised land do right there. Love God like you're supposed to. Now, if I love God like I'm supposed to, then it's amazing how everything just falls into place. It really is. If I put him where he belongs and stay where I belong, it is amazing the trickle-down effect of God's system. So The first is to love the Lord thy God with all my heart. That's this wicked old thing that thinks only of itself. With all my mind, that's the thing that's always steering my heart wrong. And with all my soul, that's my very essence, that's who I am. And I'm supposed to love God with every bit of it. Now, I'm supposed to do that, and then I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. Now, if I love my neighbor myself, then that's going to have another effect. If I love God like I'm supposed to, well, then God's going to be in his place. Now, if I love y'all like I'm supposed to, then I'll still be in my place. And loving God the way that I'm supposed to puts me in my place and keeps me at peace with him. Loving you like I'm supposed to keeps me at peace with you. These are very important promised land dues. We must love each other like we love ourselves. I'm so glad God didn't tell me to love you more than I love myself. I struggle with loving you like I love myself. Amen? But that's what we're commanded to do. And these two things are very important. Another thing that I think we should take heed to ourselves is we need to do more than hear. We need to do more than hear. And I know this is a familiar passage. I use it frequently because it's good, okay? And I know that a lot of the stuff we're going to go over tonight is stuff that we've gone over before. But the children of Israel knew these things too. But guess what God kept doing? Repeating it to them. Time after time after time. We're thick-skulled. We're hard-willed. We're stubborn. And sometimes we're hard of hearing. But we do need to do more than hear. James chapter 1, verses 22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to take heed to yourself? Love God like you're supposed to. Love the neighbors like you're supposed to. And then don't just listen to what God has to say. Do it. Now, this is where a lot of us, it's hard enough to love God like we're supposed to. But I guarantee if you're loving God like you're supposed to, when he says, you know what, I need for you to do this, or I need for you to quit doing this, using his word to do so, because he does do that, amen? Listen, he does do that. You may have to get to where his word is in order to do it, but when you do hear God's word, you can't just say, yeah, that's right. You can't. That's not enough to just sit there and say, amen, preacher, yeah, that's right. No, be a doer of the word. And when God is giving you his word while you're reading it in your own personal time between you and him, don't just read it because it's the right thing to do. Do what he's saying for you to do. Don't just be a hearer. Do more than hear. So another way that I feel we can take heed to ourselves is Christian wear. Okay? Now, I did get over this last couple weeks, some new faith wear. All right? And seriously, we have a website I can give you a link to, and you can go and get our Faith Baptist logo on a shirt or a sweatshirt or something. It's really nice. I've got a couple of them. I like them. Not very expensive. But that's not the Christian wear that I'm talking about. There is Christian wear. All right? Ephesians chapter 6 is where I find our Christian wear. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Brother Barnes used to say, you just need to get up and get dressed in the morning with the spirit just like you do with the flesh. We get up and we get dressed. Listen, when we get up and it's 0 degrees outside, you don't go outside in your jammies, do you? Not if you got a lick of sense. Okay, no, what do? You dress for the occasion, right? Yeah, me, I got Carhartts and boots and big thick hats and gloves. We dress for the occasion. Well, we're going into battle. We need to take heed to what we wear. Amen? And so we need to take on the whole armor of God. Why? So you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. God wants you to be able to stand for him. And if you ain't got on the right clothes, you're not going to be able to stand for him. I'm not talking about your clothing that you're wearing now, okay? I'm talking about this Christian wear, okay? The spiritual wear that we need to be putting on. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, we need the belt of truth. That's what that loins girt about, all right? We need that belt of truth. We need something that's true. And it needs to be what holds everything in. The truth needs to be what holds everything in. You need to have the truth. Amen? Where's the truth? Amen. It's a good old Bible. God's word. We need to know. We need to have the truth. We need to be our loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, where do we get that from? Well, that's spirit wear again. So this is all following after the spirit. and the righteousness that I have has only been given to me by God. But we need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, and you can look at this a few different ways. My life ought not look like a filthy mess. You know what I mean? That, and righteousness, you know, it's not holiness, but you cannot have holiness without righteousness. And we are supposed to be holy. And while I can't achieve any righteousness, I ought to let the righteousness given to me be seen. Let it be seen. Amen? So we ought to have on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You ought always, always, always. You should not be walking anywhere where you can't tell somebody about the Lord. You should not ever be in a situation where you can't, where you're too ashamed to talk about the Lord. Now, it may not be where you are physically at as much as where you are emotionally at. Amen? Because there are places that, look, I know a guy who can go into a bar and witness to folks. And it's a powerful thing that he does. Now, I don't know that I'm at that place yet. I think that I'm getting close. I know a few years ago I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have done it because I'd have been thinking about other things. But there are folks that can do it, but you have to be in the right place emotionally, spiritually, in order to do the things. But you ought always be in the right place to give the gospel. Wherever your feet take you, you ought to be able to give the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Listen, the devil throws things at us, doesn't he? Amen? The devil throws things at us. And what do we need? We need that shield of faith to quench the fiery darts. What does that mean? We need to just trust that God is God and that he's taking care of everything and his grace is sufficient. No matter what the devil throws at you, God is still God. And the devil can't do anything that God don't let him. Amen. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I know that we should have our feet shed, or blah, blah, shod. I always want to say trod there. I don't know why. Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You ought to always be able to tell someone about the gospel wherever you go. But the helmet of salvation, listen, we ought to be covered with salvation. It ought to show that you're saved. Okay? It ought to show that you're saved. Folks ought to be able to say, look, during football season, there's no doubt who a fan I am, whose fan I am, because I wear it on my head all the time. Amen? I wear my Bears hats. My wife made a request this year that I not wear as much Bear wear every day. Okay? And I don't believe it was the Colts fan in her. I think it was just she got tired of blue and orange. So I listened to her request, and I toned it back a great deal. It didn't hurt that the Bears were horrible this year, so I really didn't want to wear something all the time. But listen, folks ought to be able to, and I'm not saying wear a big hat with a cross on it so everybody knows I'm, no, I'm talking, listen, folks ought to know that you're saved. Folks ought to know that you're saved. It ought to show that you're saved. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How are you going to go into battle without your weapon? James and Zach are about to head off into the Marines. Now, I know this about the United States military. I know this. Those two will not be sent into a battle without a weapon. They won't be. It won't happen. And the United States military is not near as good a chief and commander, doesn't have near the chief commander that we have in the Lord's army. Amen goes right there. And he will make sure that you have the weapon, but you got to make sure that you take it with you. So this is Christian wear. These are the things that we ought to have. Amen? All right. One more thing about taking heed to ourselves. We ought to be watching and praying. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now the thing is, if we'll take heed to ourselves, these rest of things that we're about to go into, they're not going to be near the problem. Okay? If we're taking heed to ourselves, listen, I need to be watching and praying. One, watching for the enemy. Amen? Who's the enemy? Well, there's the devil. Okay? He's pretty obvious. There's the world. Pretty obvious. And then there's me. Not always so obvious. I'm very sneaky. Sometimes I can come in, I can flank me and not even know that I'm coming. Okay? But we need to be watching for that. We need to be watching for the enemy. We need to be watching and praying for the Holy Spirit to help us to have the discernment to recognize the enemy. Have the discernment to know when the battle's on. Have discernment to know when we ought to be praying. So, and we need to realize that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen? Amen. So, that's taking heed to yourself. Then our next part is, let your heart be not deceived. Don't let your heart be deceived. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, in order, our heart, listen, our heart matters. Amen? Our heart matters. And I'm not talking about the blood pump in our chest, but our heart matters. So, there are things that we need to be careful of. And we're not to let our heart be deceived. And our heart can be deceived. Why? Because it's desperately wicked. Don't ever forget that. That your heart, child of God, is desperately wicked. So, we need to know, one, who you're following. We ought to know who it is that we're following. Luke 21, verse 8 says, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not, therefore, after them. You don't have to look real hard today to find a quack. We had one resembling a quack here in our midst not too awful long ago, didn't we? Yeah. Brother Tom got his heart right, though. So, just kidding. We do have to be mindful that there are different doctrines out there that can take us away from the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We have to be mindful of who it is we're following. But the thing is, I know that my Bible says that if I know the truth, then he'll make me free. That if I will get to know him, then I'll be free indeed. Free from what? Free from any lies that are going to come my way. We need to know who we're following. John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We need to know who we're following. We have to be ready, ready when a lie comes. And the thing is, the only way, and this is, you know, I talk about this frequently. I know when it's not this. Okay? I know when I hear something and it's not this. It's not hard to spot a lie when you know the truth. Amen? It's not hard to spot a lie when you know the truth. So, how do we make sure that we don't get deceived? How do we make sure that we don't get buy into a lie? Know the truth. Know the truth. And we need to be able to recognize a lie. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we find that our flesh is in warfare and that our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And then verse 5 says, casting down imaginations. Now, what's an imagination? Someone? What's an imagination? It's a lie. Isn't it? Isn't that what an imagination is? Come on now. In an imagination, a lie? Listen, I've got a pretty good imagination sometimes. It's not as good as it was when I was a kid, but I've imagined myself doing some really crazy things. But the thing is, they're a lie. They weren't true. I wasn't really doing them. It was, listen, I remember when I was a kid, you could find the perfect stick, and I would imagine it was a sword. And there were times where I would imagine it was a lightsaber. Oh, yeah. I'm from that generation. All right? And but was it a sword? Was it a lightsaber? Well, no, it wasn't. It was my imagination. And while we're taking heed to ourselves, sometimes a lie will come, and we need to make sure that we know that it's a lie. We need to make sure that we know the difference between an imagination and the truth. And the thing is, God will help us. Because, see, I don't have the weapons to do this of my own. But they are mighty through God so that it can pull down any strongholds, casting down in imagination, casting down any lie that would exalt itself above what we know to be true about God. That exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You need to know who God is. Amen? We need to know who God is. And we need to be able to recognize a lie. All right, so we take heed to ourselves, we not to let our heart be deceived. And then it says, and ye turn aside. Let your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside. So, don't turn around. God's got you going a particular way. Don't Turn around. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Well, what would that be? It would be a lie. It would be an imagination, exalting itself above what we know to be true about God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God's got you on a path. God has showed you what's right. God has given you the things you need. Take heed to these things. Take heed to love God. Take heed to love your neighbor. Take heed to do more than just hear God's word. Take heed about your Christian wear, having on the whole armor of God. Take heed to watch and to pray. Take heed to make sure you know the truth and not hear a lie. Why? So that you don't go the other way, so we don't turn around, so we don't go back, start heading back to Egypt, because it's not going to be as good there. So don't turn around. And then it says, and serve other gods. We're not to serve any other. Revelations 2:4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. See, it all goes back to loving God. If I love God the way that I'm supposed to, then I'm not going to have a problem turning around and turning back to me. And I'm sure not going to have a problem serving anything else. Now, when Moses and God are talking to the children of Israel, they had gods like Baal, Dagon, Ashtaroth, Baal Peor. These are all some different gods of the folks that were around them in the Promised Land. These are folks, the gods that were served. Egypt had all kinds of gods. They had Ra, the sun god. They had cats were gods, which you know that's of the devil right there. Amen? Sorry, anyone that loves cats. It's devilish, I'm just saying. I got Bible. Just kidding. Anyways, I've lost where I was. Okay, so we are not to serve any other gods. So, now, listen, I can honestly say that other than a Hindu temple down in German Church, I don't really know of some like super false gods that are really prevalent for us to call out to, who is the Hindu god? See, I don't even know who it is. There's lots. There is lots. There's one that has like a bunch of arms. I know that. And there's all kinds of different, yeah, they have different gods too. And the thing is, I really don't have any draw to that. Matthew and I have discussed many times about taking a pig and tying it up to the front of the Hindu temple up there, but we've not done that yet. I have to watch him. He's very, very ornery that way. But I don't have a draw to go there and to worship anything that they've got. But there are gods that we do serve. He's ornery, isn't he? Now you're thinking about doing it with him, aren't you? I can just see the van that says Custom Cop Work stopping in front of that Hindu temple, dropping off a goat. Supper! All right, just kidding. You guys are ornery. But there are some gods that we serve. Now, the God of vocation, our job, can come first. And I know I'm talking to folks that are here on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and the job doesn't come first. But we need to be careful. We need to take heed that that doesn't happen. Our vocation. Money can be a god. Well, didn't that cover vocation? Well, no. There's other ways to get money that will cause you to serve that doesn't have anything to do with the job. Self. Oh, yeah, we can worship self for sure. We put ourselves before God all the time. This one ought to be pretty convicting to most everyone in here, if not all. And I'm saying most everyone to be nice, but we all have a problem with putting self before God. Social acceptance. How can that be a god? Oh, if we bend our life and mold our life so that others will accept us, who you think you're serving? Just saying. Sports. Oh, here goes Pastor. He's got a problem with this, with him being a Bears fan and everything. And I know that's what you're thinking. And you're right. I do have a problem with this, so pray for me. But we can put sports first. Recreation. recreation can be a god. Well, you know, I work Monday through Saturday, and the only day I got to do anything is Sunday. So, you know, we got this boat, we need to take it out, or we've got, you know, this down here, we've got our property down here, we got whatever it is. Recreation can be a god. It can be something we serve other than him. Entertainment. Entertainment can be something that we serve. And, you know, this is something that ought to be convicting to a lot of us, and myself definitely included here. How much time do you spend in your Bible, and how much time do you sit in front of the TV? Yeah, I know. But there's one that we have to be really careful of. There's one that we really got to be careful of as good King James Bible-believing Baptist: religion. We can serve the God of religion. We can make what we're doing more about us and what we're doing than about him and who we're doing it for. But we're to serve no other god. And then we're not to worship any other god. Matthew 4:10 says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." What is worship? Worship is an act of reverence, an act of adoration. And these are things that belong only to God. These are things that belong only to God. Now, verse 17 of our text says, after we see these five things, it says that if we don't take heed to ourselves, if we are deceived, if we do turn aside and go back and serve other gods and worship them, well, then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you. And he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good of land which the Lord giveth you. So we see here that there's condemnation to not following these do's and don'ts. God will literally shut up heaven to keep his blessings from falling down on you. Because that's what this promised land is talking about. Amen? God blesses you. Why? Because you're where he puts you. Okay? You're letting his grace work. You're letting these things happen. You're taking heed to yourself. You're doing the things that you're supposed to do. You're not serving other gods. You're not worshiping other gods. So God heaps his blessings out upon you. Okay? And it's not all about the money. It's all about the peace. It's all about the love, the joy that he gives in your life. It's all about the things that God does for his honor and his glory. Why? So that he can keep lifting up Christ in your life, so that others look to you and see Jesus Christ. And when those things are happening, the blessings are just coming. And the thing is, the blessings don't even matter to you. I mean, yes, they're great that God's blessing you, but what matters is who you love, the object of your affection. But when we've left our first love, when he's no longer the object of our affection, and we've replaced it with something else, well, now it's time to be raked over the coals. Do you ever feel like your prayers are hindered? Do you ever feel like God's against you? Do you feel as if every decision takes you from bad to worse? Do you wish for things to change? Do you long for the peace that passes understanding? Do you desire the warm embrace of your first love? Turn around. Go back to your first love. We must take heed to ourselves. We have to be careful. It's so easy for us to fall into a trap, to believe a lie. Why? Well, because we do forget our first love. We don't love him like we should. We don't just hear, or we don't do his word. We might just hear it if we're even doing that. And so we can be just like children of Israel. And then God shuts those windows of heaven, and the blessings aren't coming. And it feels like, And don't listen, we good Baptists, we like to get a Job complex, thinking, well, God's just letting all this happen to me because, you know, I've just been righteous before his eyes. Well, you can go ahead and think that way if you want, but if God's laid something on your heart, then you might not be in a Job complex. You should be in a Job complex, but you ought to be waking up and take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself means you have to know yourself. You have to know you have problems. Amen? That's part of taking heed. You have to know that you need all this stuff in order to not go back to Egypt. Because listen, it'll never be as good. It'll never be. Pastor Gross said this all the time, you are ruined to the world. And praise God that you're ruined to the world. You got no business being there. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Stand with me. Altar's open.